10:30, is it here or downstairs? In the sanctuary. Okay, so everybody who's involved with the board meeting, don't forget. All right, welcome to the Covenant Church of Thomaston. We love to have you here. We're glad that if you're listening online that you are with us. The things that we want to remember for today, we have a few things going on. We have a basket here on the altar. We're collecting all the items for the 35 baskets that we have going out in early March for missions. We plan on getting those organized right around the 1st of March, and then they're going straight over to be passed out to the families with all those kids. So, March 7th, to be exact. Awesome. So, and that's worked out really well for us. So be imaginative about what you gather, but we need 35 of everything. Try and keep that in mind. Let's see. And don't forget, if you have changes to whatever is in your directory for Ruth, she needs the information so she can put together our new directory. Good morning.
Good morning.
We know she's not really that shy. So, and a couple of our other notes. Oh, it's on the inside. We have women's ministry books, the book club, and the book is in the bulletin, the title, The Vanishing Half. This sounds very interesting. Don't forget women's study. You guys are kind of already into it, but if people want to join, they just contact you. Peggy?
Yep.
All your info is right there. All right. So. Okay. After it warms up, you mean? I said after it warms up, you mean?
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Are there any other announcements for this morning? Awesome. So let us join together in our entree.
Sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord, bless his name.
Tell of his salvation from day to day.
Declare his glory among the nations.
His marvelous works among all the peoples.
You give life, you are Lord.
please. Lord, you are our one and only. You were so careful in the creation of everything, of the cosmos, of the stars. You name them all. And then our earth is so perfect because you knew exactly what your crowning creation was going to need to have everything they would ever need. Lord, we just thank you. We praise your name, the great King of Kings. There is no other. You are the one and only God. Your Son and your Holy Spirit, together in this Trinity, this perfect gathering, you give us all that we need. You've laid your word before us that we might hear what the word is saying to us. You have done it all. Your creation is so perfect, Lord, that we can just rest and be at peace because we are your people. You have granted to us that privilege. Help us, Lord, to believe that that is ours, that you brought it for us. It cost you a price, a mighty price, that we can stand here today and live in that cost, knowing what it has cost you. We thank you, Lord, and we praise your name. We come here today to worship together before you, our God, that all things you are working out in your plan. Help us to seek after that plan for each of us, Lord. You've called us to seek after your plans, your ways, your purposes. You have not failed. You are faithful, and we thank you for that. Let us join together in the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. We begin in the book of Isaiah today. It is found on page 586 in your pew Bible, Isaiah 43:16 through 21. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. Our next reading is from the book of Acts. It is found on page 902 in your pew Bible, Acts 17, 22 through 34. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of the heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needs anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor, he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said. For we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by art and imagination or mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some scoffed, but others said, 'We will hear you again about this.' At that point, Paul left them. But some of them joined him and became believers, including Dionysus, an Archegite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them." And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
Okay, kids.
Come on up, kids. Come on, Feifei.
Go ahead. Come on.
Come on, kids. Where's Ainsley?
When you hear idol, anything at all?
Boston Red Sox.
Cute. So, back in, way back here, they used to worship idols. Though they have some like this, some like that. But you know what? These idols, they didn't live, they didn't breathe, they didn't walk, they didn't talk, they couldn't hear. And if they went anywhere, they had to carry them. So they were basically, you know, something that they worshipped ahead of God. That was not good. So we have the reading today with Paul. On this meeting place where all the Greeks got together, I'm not going to try to say that. And they love to listen to people. So here we have Paul who is giving his sermon. We'll do that. And look at these people. Look at that. This one's pointing. That one's saying, "What are you talking about?" And all these. So However, some of them listened, because and Paul used one of their own little things for them. No, the stone that just said to the unknown God. So he related to them who this actually was. So this is what that place looks like now. I went from here to there, a big hunk of rock. So that is what God is to be our number one ahead of everything, even the Boston Red Sox. Ahead of them all. Everything. So if there's anything that we think of before him, that's probably not good. Some people want to think about, how can I make more money? How can I have more power? How about, how can I ace that next test? How about you, honey? You're older than me. Good, yeah. You already got him as the number one. Okay, so that is God. God is to be our number one person. And as I did in Sunday school class, and my kids are not up here, so they miss out on the color, but we had a cross on the wall with the heart that I had them put their names in, because Jesus is the best Valentine's we could ever have, because he's the one who died for us, because God loved us. God, okay, so let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your love for us, especially on this Valentine's Day when we can celebrate that. So thank you so much. And that we want you to be number one in our lives, not second best, not third, not sixth, not way down the line, not an afterthought, but to be number one. Our last thought at night, our first thought in the morning, and all throughout the day. In your name, all God's children said,
amen. Now it's our privilege to be able to come before God with our joys and our concerns and our prayers. Would you bow in prayer with me, please? Heavenly Father, good morning. It's a day of red roses and dark chocolates and expensive cards. We only spend about $27 billion worth this year. We know, Father, there are so many mouths that could have been fed with that money. A day of sweetness and kindness and gratitude for many, but for some of our brothers and sisters sitting right next to us, a day of brokenness, loneliness, or emptiness. Father, do we really need a day to tell each other how we feel? Father God, words are free. Father, we love you. We need you. We are so grateful and thankful to have you in our lives each and every day. Words you should hear every day. Words our beloved loved ones should also hear every day. Father, let us be happy and glad for this day and thankful for all of our many blessings, but help us to be mindful of those around us. Help us to remember the loved ones that we have and the ones that we have lost. We lift up our country for healing. We lift up our leaders for ideals and strength and faith to discern right from wrong and to make correct decisions for all people of this country. Father, we lift up all the churches of faith to stand firm in these difficult days ahead. Like Paul, make the scales fall from our hearts and eyes so that we can see your world in the way you see it. Clear our vision so that we can live with the love you so freely offer us. And Father God, we lift up our church leaders and the board, which will be meeting this afternoon, for our pastors and our congregation. Praying for your strength to fill us physically, emotionally, and spiritually as we journey together through these exhausting time in our lives. Help us to also be mindful of our own who are part of our family and whose bodies may be racked with aches or pains, disease or sickness. I open it up now for any names of anyone you would like prayers over. Father God, so many names, so many said and unsaid, Father. We lift them all up to you, Father. We lift up Liz and Millie, Marcia and her upcoming surgery. We lift up Gary Butler's dad and Lucille's little Addie. Robert Morton and Barbara Hanley and Chip and Karen Gill. Lift up Ed Nelson and Karen and George Anticoli. Art and Claire Peel and Pete Bucklevich and Carol Stratman. We lift up Herb and Rogin. We lift up Chris and Dawn. We lift up our church family to you, Father, for their needs known and those unknown. On a day of love, we remember, and in the name of the King of Love, forgiveness and healing, Jesus Christ, we pray today. Amen.
Thank you. morning, time to reaffirm baptismal vows, so we'll get to that. But like holy water. When I was in elementary school, Sunday school was great. I loved Sunday school. I ran to Sunday school. I studied, you know, Bible verses to try and win the sword drills, but I never seemed to get the attendance award. You know, there's always those kids that they, but some of you remember, they have all the bad, like all the years, all the way down. You know, you miss one, you don't get the badges. So, but that was okay. I loved Uncle Wally. Uncle Wally, he loved kids. I was probably second or third grade, and he just had such joy in telling the stories of Jesus. And some of you that are older, you know they had the flannel graph, you know, a little flannel board, and the things would stick. You know, nowadays it'd be like Velcro, you know, kind of, you could jump those characters right up on that board and they'd stick. But it came to life. Uncle Wally was the best. Heard that he died, in the last few years. I had fond memories, Uncle Wally. Another person that impacted my life was in junior high, one of the junior high leaders. John Messina. He was a different temperament than Uncle Wally. He was a lot more laid back, kind of behind the scenes. He wasn't the main leader, but he just kind of looked out for me and some of my friends. I brought friends. He had a great influence on us. He taught us through, you know, how he acted about, you know, God can help you through your struggles. God can be there with you. And you ought to invite friends to church. Kids, if you're listening, you ought to invite friends to church. Fill up grandma and grandpa or mom or dad's car. Bring them to church. Because that's where they'll meet Jesus. Meet a wonderful family of God. So he was great. One more person that I met my first month at this church, 1998, it was December. Pastor friend brought me to Cromwell where I would meet Ruth Todd, who pretty much grew up in this church. She taught in Chicago, quite a woman of influence. She's an organist. Family of organists, and you know, I met her near the end of her life. Her husband, Grandin would die within a month. We had a service here. But for the next 7 years, I got to visit with Ruth Todd. She probably is about this tall, and she had a real raspy voice, but a beautiful, beautiful spirit about her. Every time that I, you know, spoke with her, felt like you were encountering the living God. You know, not that she would ever claim to be that, but the Spirit of God through her. Maybe you've had people that in your life, when you met them, you were forever changed in a moment. You looked at the world differently, and they just, you know, you encountered Christ in them. Because you know why? Because they saw the opportunity and they saw the Lord in you. You know why? They see that. Potential for our lives. And so they humble themselves. But Uncle Wally, John, Ruth, they had great influence on a lot of people, I would imagine. They knew Christ and they made him known through word and deed. Because they had embraced at least this one biblical truth, they knew that they were dead in their transgressions and sin. But they were made alive together with Christ. Baptismal language, dying and rising with Christ. They knew that to be true. So they were personally and forever profoundly changed by the Lord. And God is raising up a generation for this new era. Young and old. You know, God is working on all of our hearts and our lives, even the youngest among us. He has a plan for us. God will use children like never before in this new era. Got to believe that and give them room. So, newly baptized sister over here, the Lord's with you. The Lord's with you. It's a great opportunity in the years ahead. You know, Laura and along with all of us. The gospel and word and deed, the Lord wants it to penetrate into all parts of society. You know, all the places of influence where we work, where we live. The gospel in word and deed penetrating into families, the spheres, every area. God wants to change it, not through overpowering and domination, but his kingdom has the best way to run things. It's the best way to get things done, the most creativity, the best for the world, all nations of the world. We're supposed to baptize nations and to train up nations, and God will do that in this new time. Even through some of you, even through some of the kids here, great things are able to happen. Could this be a part of what Gina read earlier? Behold, I'm about to do something new. Can you see it? Can you perceive it? That wasn't just for the Israelites back in Babylonian captivity when he was going to bring them home to Jerusalem, but it's for now as well. Transformed in Christ, we will influence many, just as the early church did. If we are willing, if we allow ourselves, filled with God's Spirit, Pastor Gary shared a prophecy from a story from an article last week, in general, just about those who are not even saved yet. They will be among the greatest people of influence in the world ahead. Those who don't even know Christ yet. They may be worshiping the devil. They may be in gangs. They may be corrupt politicians. Who knows what they're doing, but God knows, and God's going to save them, and they're going to help change the world. Even the religious who have not been serving Christ will be forever changed in this era. They will be his vessels. The most unexpected people. Maybe you consider yourself one of the most unexpected people. Why would God come to me? Well, he went to Mary and Joseph, the most unexpected people. And Jesus was born in a manger, one of the worst places. And look at what Jesus did. Look at what Mary and Joseph did. Kids, you may feel like you're in a hard place now, a hard spot, or you're just not understanding, but God has a plan for you. You will just open your hearts right now. I want you to. I see the light of Christ all over the kids in here. The Lord is touching you right now, Faith. The Lord loves you. Hiding over there, Ashley. The Lord is lighting up my mind. He was praying. Ryan, the orange on your nose is cute. Right? The Lord has a plan for you. All the kids, I'm sorry about touching anybody. The light of Christ is moving. So let's look at Paul. He's in Athens. He's on his way to Rome. God was sending out witnesses from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So he's in Athens. He's making his way to Rome. He will die there. He will gladly die there because he's the Lord's. He's waiting for Silas and Timothy to join him. And he's walking around. This is a little bit earlier from what Gina read, verse 16. Thanks, Janie, for the word.
I have my microphone on, have I? So he's walking around, and his heart is grieved over all the idols. He sees the rituals. The old Paul, who was Saul, would have dragged those people by the hair, knock down all those idols, tear them off the walls, but he's a new man. He's in Christ now. So what does he do? Well, he does what Jesus would do. When you have the good news and you've been changed by Christ, you go and you talk to people. He went into the synagogues, talked to the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles. He went into the marketplace with anyone that would reason with him, and he talked, he shared with them. He talked about Jesus. He talked about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Then he was speaking with Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, and they say, hey, why don't you come with us up on Mars Hill? A famous place where great discussions and debates used to play, the highest court, the Athenian court. I said, come on up. We want to hear about this. So they do take him up there. And Mars Hill served as the meeting place for the Areopagus court, for civil, criminal, religious matters. There was debate about law and religion and philosophy there. The Epicureans, they believed that all of life was to be pleasure. And they were to be in a state of tranquility and there'd be no pain. It sounds like a drug-induced coma. You know, they were numbing their life, you know. Because in this world, there is trouble, there is pain, but Christ has overcome the world. The Stoics, the Epicureans now, they did not deny the reality of God, but they thought God was uninterested and God was not involved in life, in the human beings. The Stoics' main purpose was to ascend above all things, and they had a pantheistic view. The piano is a god, the lamp's a god, you're a god, I'm a god, everybody's a god. So they were divided over their worldviews and they loved to debate. But they were intrigued with Paul. You know, what was it that was drawing them to Paul? You know, just hearing about the Epicureans and Stoics, why would they want Paul to come? Well, God was tugging on their heart. The Spirit of God was tugging on them to have Paul speak. Didn't God say, you will see how Paul will suffer for me. He will stand before kings and in prominent places, and he will share the gospel. So he is fulfilling God's will. And if we are fulfilling God's will in the places we are at, God will touch hearts and lives and children, young and old. He will do that through us. It's not us, it's the Lord. Wherever God has placed you, he wants you to be his instrument. And you know that. So some of them said, verses 18, 19, what is Paul babbling about? Others said he's talking about strange deities. That word is for the demonic. You know, they think he's talking about Satan worship or something satanic, something demonic. When all that they were believing in was exactly that. But because he proclaimed Jesus raised from the dead. All their little gods never were raised from the dead. Couldn't walk around, couldn't make anything, couldn't do anything. When this new God in their mind is raised from the dead. So they asked Paul to share what this new teaching, what it means. So come on up. Come on up to Mars Hill. About 400 feet above the market. And thanks again, Jane. You were showing pictures. I didn't get to see that, but she has a book she can show, or a picture she can show you guys. She's always prepared. That's fantastic. So be sure to check that out. But Paul shares a biblical worldview centered on God's love as creator and Jesus Christ, who he raised from the dead. The one atoning sacrifice, he must have shared a little bit more about that. But he said that, you know, God, he is Lord of heaven and earth. He created everything. And God does not dwell in temples. He's not served by human hands. You think he needs something from you? No, he's the giver of all life and all breath. We sang about that. He's the breath in our lungs, and we are to pour out our praise to him. He's worthy of it all. But God created everyone, every nation, even where they would be established, even their timeline, time frame. He created everything so that people might seek God. That children, young and old, might seek God, even grope for him. Sometimes we feel like things are so bad and we've got to grope for him, but if you grope for him, you'd find him. He's near to everyone. And Paul said, in him we live and we move and we have our being. He is everywhere. You know, the poets, their poets talked like that. And Paul told them in this biblical worldview, we all are God's offspring. God created us all. We are all God's offspring. We should not think of the divine in gold and silver and this and that like somebody could make it. But being that God is creator, we are his offspring. He says in verse 30 that God has overlooked the times of ignorance, and God has now desired declared to all people that everyone should repent. And what is repentance? It's severing our life from the idols. It's stepping away from all that is wrong. It's cutting the ties with things we've been associated with. In this new era, there will be such a cleansing and a purifying that, you know, we will be forever changed. And society is going to change like never before. It seems bad, but there's a great turning, there's a tide turning, and God is in control. I guarantee you, we will see it. But it was a time of repentance because the Lord has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. And he did this through an individual. Through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, whom he appointed and has provided proof, it says, to all by raising him from the dead. They proved it, his love, the sacrifice, forgiveness of sins by raising Jesus from the dead. In verse 32, now when they heard of the resurrection from the dead, some began to sneer, or they mocked or scoffed, I think Gina read. That's the same word derived from the Greek as a poisonous viper. They wanted to sink their fangs into Paul. And he knows about that. He was there 3 to 4 years earlier. He said, you got to stop speaking about Jesus. You can't share your Christianity. You can't do this or that. But they sneered. They were livid. They were fuming when God's truth begins to pierce the mind and the heart of those who have been against God and have not known God. It often comes out as sneering and mocking. But the Lord is working on that heart. Sometimes they're the closest one to turning their life over to Christ. But some sneered. But it says others said this, we will hear you again about this. They were open. Their hearts were open. Their minds were open. And Paul was building a relationship. He would begin to share with them like tomorrow or the next day. It says he went away, but he would come back. And they will eventually be part of the church. We don't drag people around, hit them over the head with our Bible or our hymnal. You know, we build relationships and we invite people to consider. There's freedom of religion, right? Not for long. It'll remain, even though there are challenges. We invite people to consider the Lord and consider the reason for Christ dying and rising again. But we have to get to this third group, the smallest, but it says they joined themselves to Paul. They didn't want to sink their fangs into him. That's the one extreme. But they joined themselves. It's like it's cleaving to him. They were glued to him. Paul couldn't shake them loose, and he wouldn't want to. They joined themselves. They left behind the old and started walking in the new. They repented from their idol worship. They did not know. They were ignorant. They repented. They walked away. They said, you know, enough is enough. They may have gotten into trouble. You know, loved ones saying, don't you want to take your trinket gods with you? No, just burn them. I'm done with that. They're old ways, and they embrace the new. A relationship established to the Lord and with Paul to mentor, to teach, to disciple. They certainly were baptized and they were filled with the Spirit. And that's symbolized by the language of dying and rising with Christ. You know, the baptismal waters, dying and rising with Christ. And this is what happens when people meet someone who is alive in Christ. You know, like my Uncle Wally in Sunday school. Like many of you as you're teaching and leading. And as we learn to die each day with Christ, Christ will come alive in us. That's what happens. When people meet someone who is alive in Christ, it becomes a flashpoint. It was a flashpoint for these two. You know, Dionysius, and he was a judge. And Damaris, she was a wealthy woman. Dionysius is, it's said to, you know, you can do research on him, one of the highest court judges. He gets saved. He becomes the bishop of the church in Athens, and he's later martyred. But he had great power and authority, but he came to see and understand the highest court is God's court, God's ways. He would not bend the knee to anything else or anyone else. And neither are we ever to bow the knee to anything, to give any to anything. It's God and God alone. But Damaris, she's certainly, we don't know as much, but believed a wealthy woman, a person of influence, so stewarding her gifts for the kingdom of God. They joined themselves. But it becomes a flashpoint for them. They encountered the living God. They were forever changed. And the scripture declares and affirms for us as believers that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, it resides in you and me. It lives in us. The same power. The same power. The people we meet need to experience and have undeniable encounters with the living Christ. So isn't now the time to stand up, you know, wherever we are, in the public arena? We have many teachers. We have people of influence, you know, not just education, but business, wherever we are. Some of you will be politicians one day. You'll be good ones. All the areas. We are all ministers, and God is going to pour out his strategies for our culture, for it to bring God's kingdom ways. They're the best ways for the whole world. Not to dominate, but to show the best way. To bring answers and resolutions and new creativity in amazing ways. Of course, we want people to believe in Jesus. But we reveal him best through our words and our deeds and building relationships with people. You know, just as you have probably been mentored or discipled, we need to build those relationships with people. Well, today has been about dying and rising with Christ, about, you know, being in the public place, the arena, the being out in public, the public square, and God raising up people in the days ahead, even through us, that have never known him. And they've been living for other things and other gods in their life. Some amazing people. So to keep that going, will we commit ourselves and renew our baptismal covenant today? You know, you'll be able to come forward, and some do that bringing their offerings, or if you have already, that's fine, but the bowls of water here, we have two songs to end, and there's a prayer in between for our offering time. But may it be a time of, you know, coming forward, and you can touch the water or not touch the water. You can do this time of recommitment and consecrating yourself to the Lord. I want to do this kind of thing every week. You know, next Sunday is Ash, was the first Sunday of Lent. We won't have an Ash Wednesday service, but Pastor Gary looked up for me how to make those some good ash for those who would mark themselves with the sign of the cross. God is marking us today as we die, commit to die and rise with Jesus, the waters of baptism to reaffirm ourselves. And let me make this decree over you today. Church, you will be raised up for God to live out the resurrection and bring the good news of Jesus Christ in word and deed to places of work and schools and neighborhoods and businesses, wherever you are working. You are his living proof, just as Paul was, the living proof of his resurrection. Children, God has his hand upon you. He has his hand upon you. He wants to work in you. Start living for Jesus even more at your homes. You will get more and more responsibility here in the church. I guarantee it. You'll be cleaning a lot of bathrooms, right, Dave? No. Just kidding. Just kidding. But if you want to, you can help. You will have great influence for the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you and will be with you. People will be drawn to you. People will join themselves to you and to your Lord and my Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now is the time. Behold what God is doing in our land. Think of those people who impacted your life and they showed you Christ. It's time for us to do the same in even more and greater and more effective ways to influence our world for Christ. Let us do that. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we stand and sing, feel free to come forward and touch the water, spend time in prayer up around the altar. You'll have the opportunity during both songs.
Would you pray with me? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh Lord God, what a powerful, beautiful name your name is. Your name is the name above every name, the name that every knee will bow to, the name that can save, the name that can heal. There is nothing the name of Jesus cannot do. Your name has saved each and every one of us. You have called us by our name. You have marked us and sealed us as your own. You have poured out your love on all of your creation. You have blessed us. You have provided for us everything we could ever need. You have given us simply because of your love for us. So as we come and we lift up our tithes and offerings, Lord, we lift up ourselves and we lay ourselves at your altar. We give everything that we have, not just our money and our finances, but our lives, our adoration, our love, our thanksgiving, and our willingness, Lord, to submit to your will, to partner with you, to be used by God Almighty himself, to be sent into this world, to show the world your love, to beam your light through our lives, so that we may be in relationship with all of your creation. And in that relationship, Lord, your love will flow over us and through us and out so that that love will draw the world to you. So today, Lord, as we come, it's not just about our money in the plate. It's about our hearts. It's about our will. It's about our submission. It's about our desire to live a life that pleases you and shines the love of Christ through all this earth. So, Father, take everything we have, multiply it, use us, send us, fill us, empty us out into this world so we can continually be filled and emptied out for your creation, Lord. Let our lives be a true reflection of the love of God. Let our lives be the true reflection of the power of the resurrection, because that power is alive and well and still being used today through each and every one of us. So, Lord, direct us, fill us, strengthen us, give us boldness and confidence to go into this world, to preach your gospel, to pour out your love, and to let our lives be an offering to you so that all the world will know who our God is. All the world will see the glory of God fill this earth, and that your name will be magnified and glorified and praised high above the earth. Lord, we give it all to you. We thank you, Lord, that you have held nothing from us. So, Lord, strengthen us so that we may hold nothing from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Well, church, the Lord is blessing you. The Lord is keeping you. The Lord is making his face shine upon you right at this moment. And his face will keep shining upon you as you go forth each and every day. And when you close your eyes, you will see the face of Jesus. Rejoice in that. And his light shall be upon you. Amen.